Hey, Alan here.
And the Chris.
And just before the start of this week's episode, we would like to say thank you for listening, and also to make you aware that if you enjoy this podcast, there are several other podcasts that we think you could enjoy. Firstly, starting with our own podcasts, I present the DCAU podcast with a friend of mine, Rebecca Hart, where we discuss the animated DC movies.
And if you love my dulcet tones, you can hear me on the Touring Heel podcast, a weekly professional wrestling podcast, the Tom Buckle Arms, which is a monthly professional wrestling podcast, or A Happening In, which is a crime slash ghost slash conspiracies slash weird stories podcast.
Also, if you enjoy a bit of robot combat podcasting and you want to hear some more, thoroughly recommend checking out the Bobcast list, the link for which is in the episode description. Finally, before we start this episode, a reminder that Rise of the Robots is protected under a Creative Commons 4.0 International Attribution Non-Commercial Share-alike International License. I'm Alan.
I'm the Grizz.
And welcome to Rise of the Robots. This week we are covering BattleBots Season 3.0, Episode 4. BattleBots Season 3.0, Week 4.
Should probably say the now. I think like the last episode of Techno Games was put up, you could hear the claps.
Motherfucker. Well, it's not that surprising. I mean, it's, yes, shock horror. We put edit points in because Alan edits by sight, not by sound.
Yeah, never that helps. That's why over my other podcast, when I'm doing anything, I just don't bother.
Oh, I mean, it's...
If I flub a sentence or whatever, I'll just go, that's staying in.
I'll be... Being perfectly honest, the majority of people probably... The only way you'd actually be able to tell a difference is if you listen to the two recordings together. It's more just, I'll be honest, it's more, it seems like more trouble than it's worth, and it's only when you really compare it to kind of more professional podcasts that you actually notice a difference.
It's one of those things where it's like, yeah, like, we try and be somewhat professional, except with all my swears and all that bullshit,
but
I mean, at the same day, we're just doing this for fun, so
absolutely.
Like... Oh, you know, like
it's a bit like Scottish Wrestling Central. I did it because it was fun, and then one of the reasons that I actually stopped doing it is because it stopped being fun. Because I realised that even though I didn't take it seriously,
a lot of other people did.
Yeah, and then retroactively tried to imply that I took it seriously and I did it to get in with the boys, which I'm going on. No, I took up wrestling training to get in with the boys. That didn't work either.
Yeah. Honestly, it's just so... It's really embarrassing when like people like that take that so seriously.
Yep. Anyhow, we're getting off topic very quickly. Fuck it, I'm just going to do this from the start again. Fuck it. Hello, I'm Alan. Nah, we'll cut that bit up.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie, I actually was quite productive during that couple of minutes, so I got myself a drink and sat back down, so it was partially me doing it deliberately so that I had more time to do stuff.
So that is So normally we keep a little silence where I edit the music in. This time we had about a 30-second conversation that no one will ever know about.
No.
It's been deleted from history like a Twitter account. This particular episode jumps very quickly into the first fight. And don't know. One thing, I'll be perfectly honest, I started to do with this episode is BattleBots has a lot of fluff.
Oh, God, yeah. Because of this particular recording, we are doing four episodes back to back to back to back.
Yep.
And when I was watching these episodes, I did not have the usual kind of, okay, let's just watch all this. It'll be fine. But no, this particular period, I'm just like, get on with it, get on with it, get on with it. I don't care.
So,
why are we in a zoo? I don't care.
Yes, we'll get to that. So the first match is a battle between two seeded robots.
Which is weird, considering this is the first time we've ever seen them.
Yeah, so the first robot is, just to make sure I got this right, Rim Tin Tin.
Yes.
So,
because I think it's related to Sir Chromalot.
It certainly has the Sir Chromalot look. I'm just trying to find where this match happened.
In your tree, yeah, because
yeah, just one thing. Run Amok, which not only are they a fantastic team, the website they have, which has the full like results list.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, this is the
Run Amok website was the only reason we were able to do the early years of Robot Wars. If that wasn't there, we probably would not been able to put all that together.
So that this is the third round of the tournament. This is the first match that both robots have had, and I'm assuming yes. So this is effectively it would be the round of 128 if it wasn't the fact there's still some robots to enter in the next round.
Jesus. I know, it's really weird, like, the fact that we've seen some robots seemingly, like, battle on their way through, like, a whole tournament, and then it's just like, oh, here's these two. Like, and then, as you say, the fact that they're seeded robots, I'm like, why is this the first time I've seen them then?
So, Rim Tin Tin is seeded 24th. It is basically, it's a car hub with a ramp and the weirdest looking lifter I've ever seen is basically like a bicycle pedal and gear part, except instead of a footwell, it's got a little blade of metal to lift with.
The exterminator flipper.
And Hammerhead is basically tornado. If tornado was described over the phone by someone who doesn't like tornado.
Oh, so me?
Yeah, basically.
It's shit. It's a box. It's got wheels. It goes fast.
Yeah. We're still not at the point of, and I don't know if they'd call them this in Robot Wars yet. Basically, the idea of a full body hammer, I think, is the term that some people use instead of, and that's different from a pusher. I want to make that clear. So,
body hammer, interesting.
This match is really chaotic. See when I actually look at my notes? It's two robots
that
seem to lack any sort of real control of the fight.
I think this might be the most notes I have for any match that we're doing in this session.
Hammerhead get, one thing I love about lightweights, anytime they even get touched by the kill source, they go flying.
The thing is, like, I've got, I always wonder how badly the Kelsos actually, like, well, for lack of a better word, hurt a robot, because it's just the way that, like, some roboteers have absolutely no problem just driving over the Kelsos multiple times and it seemingly doesn't do anything. But then sometimes you see people drive over it and then they die almost instantly. And it's like, they just, there seems to be, like, a very distinct lack of trying to avoid them sometimes. It's very weird.
I think it depends on, what it depends on is a couple of things. First of all, what shielding there is on the underside of the robot.
Mm-hmm.
Two, what I think as well could well be the case is because the Kelsos are moving up, it might be that, particularly for the lightweight robots, if they don't, if they only just get caught by a small bit of the blade and then they just go flying off, they don't really get, it's not like, and we see this as a tactic from some robots basically holding their opponent on the blades.
Yeah.
So they've got nowhere to go. And Hammerhead, I actually think Rin Tin Tin has the match, he's edging the match when he gets Behemoth'd.
Yes. In fact, that's exactly what I put in my notes.
Yeah, this is a phrase we're going to use a few times.
Yes. So, the piston pops up as Rin Tin Tin is coming across the arena, and Rin Tin Tin gets flipped by it. And then, kind of going right back to what we were saying, Hammerhead decides to just chill out right on top of the Kelsos. So they pop up, and then Hammerhead goes flying halfway across the arena.
And effectively what happens is when
and it kills Robot.
Sorry?
And it kills Hammerhead. Like, Hammerhead stops moving after that.
Oh.
And then Rin Tin Tin was just counted out just because it was flipped first.
That's effectively what happened. Yeah, it is that kind of situation of if that Behemoth thing hadn't happened, Hammerhead lasted maybe 4 seconds longer.
Yeah. And it was just bad driving.
And yeah, not the first time we've seen that, not the last time we see it this series.
No.
And we move on to the heavyweights.
Yep, because we get a Battle Bots update going into this as we see Son of Waiachi. And a few of its victories. Oh, yes, victories, victims, any other words starting with violence definitely is one of them.
Yep.
As we see Son of Waiachi dismembering such robots as Crabmeat and Killowamp to get to this point where it goes to take on Nightmare.
So, the two ridiculously oversized rotating weapons.
This could be nothing but insane here.
Oh, this was a match you were just like, yeah, this match is ending in like 10 seconds or it's going to be incredibly dull.
Exactly. It was like, this match is either going to be awesome and over quickly or it's going to be drawn out and both robots will have to resort to, you know, nudging each other.
And this is actually in the round of 16. So the winner of this match goes to the quarterfinals.
Okay.
One other thing, obviously, they don't really go into details with this, but obviously Son of Waiachi is a shuffle bot.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, this is the kind of second major time we've seen a shuffle bot, the previous one being Drillzilla. I wonder if these two teams have some sort of cooperation or if it's something that they came to at the same time. It's shock horror. A guy who's a fan of motorsport appreciates teams looking at the rules and finding an advantage. Whereas Drillzilla used the technical rules to basically allow them to have the heaviest armor known to robot kind, Son of Wayachi has instead used it as an opportunity to get as much power into their weapons as they can.
The most dangerous weapon in robot history.
So this is probably the largest full body spinner I can think of that we've seen in the heavyweight division. Which is hardly surprising since it's technically not a heavyweight. It's actually just this, well, it does in later series when Shufflebots are kind of more fairly weighted. It is classed as a super heavyweight.
Yeah, like they changed the rules. I think it might be next season. I think it's purposely because of Wayachi and Son of Wayachi that they changed the weights. So Son of Wayachi ends up becoming a super heavyweight and Wayachi becomes non-competable for that fact.
Yep. So, as we maybe guessed, this match doesn't last long.
We've spent more time building it up than the actual match lasts.
Nightmare gets hit so hard that one of its motors rips off. As far as I can see, ripping off some hydraulic fluid or something, because something is pouring out of the robot as it flies through the air. It flies through the air so quickly that the wheel on the other side of the robot gets ripped off.
it was beautiful. Like, but I never thought, like, because obviously I kind of have reactions like this to, like, current BattleBots, because it's like, it's, you know, it's happening somewhat now-ish. But normally I don't really have this reaction when I watch old BattleBots, because it was like, oh, this shit happened, like, 20-odd years ago. But, like, I just remember sitting there, like, and then I noticed my mouth just was agape, like, what the fuck? I was just, like, genuinely shocked that happened. It was, like, one hit, and then just Nightmare just exploded, essentially.
And, yeah, as I said, I'm just amazed. It got hit so hard that the wheel on the other side of the robot flew off.
I know, it was almost like it got hit so hard that it flew up so high that, like, when it landed, like, it almost just snapped off because of, like, the it flying through the air.
And following this match, we get
BattleBots update.
Starting out with Towering Inferno defeating Bad Dog in the heavyweight division.
Yep, which is a match that I watched on YouTube.
We
seen it on YouTube, so it's happening.
You did, I didn't.
I know. It's just like we were saying, it's like, oh, we have 4 episodes to do this week. Let's get rid of the fluff. And it's like, no, let's watch more.
So
Tower Inferno comes in with his axes swinging. Bad Dog just tries to figure out exactly what to do with Towering Inferno. And then just as it's kind of seeming as if it kind of has an idea, it gets stuck on the ramp.
Oh, dear.
Just kind of high-centered itself, and it's done.
Meanwhile, in the super heavyweight division, Revision Z, remember them, defeats Grey Matter.
Yeah, a rematch from last year, apparently.
Might have been. I don't think we saw it.
No.
I
think we might have, because at this point, I was trying to look for other matches, and I kept finding this match from season 2. So I think it was aired on TV last year, but it wasn't this year, so.
So the final of the 3 matches is Surgeon General defeating You're in there.
Ah, Mjolnir.
That one. Meow meow.
Mjolnir.
Hammer!
Sounds like me at 4 o'clock last night trying to talk to my cat. Mjolnir!
So, we stay with the heavyweights for the next proper match.
Yep, and we got any BattleBots update, as we have Kilohertz defeating Center Punch and Omega 13 beating Blender and VOV to build up to Omega 13 versus Kilohertz.
So, Omega 13, it's a rookie robot. It's a push bot with wedge spikes, and its opponent, well, if you don't know who Kilohertz is by this point, you haven't been paying attention. I do think...
And so, welcome.
If your first episode of a podcast is the fourth episode of the 14th season they're covering...
Then I don't think that my head can take that. It's like, why? Why?
So, there was someone who downloaded all our episodes in one day, by the way.
And I love you for it, if you're listening. Or because,
well, you will be at some point.
That's the thing, is like, if they've downloaded every episode in the span of one day, Jesus, I would be sick of listening to us by the time he gets the current episodes. Or so, they get current episodes.
So, I do like that they clarify. No, Omega 13 is 4-0. And this match entirely turns on two things, which is Omega 13 almost immediately drives onto a kill saw.
Yep.
As it's recovering from that, you just see Kilohertz almost kind of casually... casually walk up to them. Hello, I'm Kilohertz. Bang!
Blap!
It is the perfect axe shot. Right into the wheel.
It was so meaty as well that it was like... I think it was this axe shot that completely wrecked the robot, because... it was the only axe shot that was swung in the entire match. Maybe Kilohertz had a bit of a plan to not use the axe a lot during this match. I mean, can't think we'll ever see a strategy like this again that may win them a fight that they shouldn't have won. But
I mean, the one thing that is the case with that with this particular fight. It seems that the first axe bot, I think it actually might break the axe mechanism, because it kind of dangles at an awkward position after this point.
Mm-hmm.
And...
yeah, because it doesn't even back.
And it's one of these things where you're sort of thinking from Omega 13's point of view, great, their weapon's broken, you should have more pushing power. Except they don't.
No. Yeah, because like, Kilohertz still kind of has like a little bit of that weird blade thing at the front of their robot, and they start trying to use that as their kind of advantage.
As a battering ram type weapon.
Yeah, just pickety-pokety. And it does reasonably well. And the way that the commentators continue to talk as if, like, oh, they're just getting that axe into position. Oh, it's picking away at them. But it's not. It's dead. Like, it's stuck.
So, Omega 13 doesn't seem to realise that it's not a case of, oh, you just have to survive to the end. And they spend half the fight running away.
What do you mean they didn't win?
I mean, there's only one time I can think of where a running away strategy worked to win the fight, and it wasn't in BattleBots.
I mean, I feel like the closest thing in BattleBots was that time where Kilohertz completely exploded and just managed to survive long enough for Mauler to kill itself.
Yeah.
But even exactly say that was running away.
It was more, I'm going to break your fist with my everything.
Just bleh. At one point during this match, Tim Green says Kilohertz is banging Omega 13.
I mean, it did penetrate it.
I mean, it was all up in there.
So the decision, it goes to the judges, and it's a 30-15 decision in favor of Kilohertz.
I'm surprised that Omega 13 got that many points.
Maybe for control or style, or I don't know. Maybe it was more the fact that it didn't get absolutely monstered in every shape or form, which we do see in later fights. Now,
Other than that one axe shot, yeah, pulling that robot out of the arena, it probably would have looked kind of pristine.
We then follow with a small video about a pair of US Air Force cadets who have built a robot, and they are in the next match, which is some sort of light and middleweight robots versus Chinkilla handicap match.
Yep, which I didn't suss out until the match actually started, because
at first they built as though it's a rumble, which was like, oh, that's interesting. It's not a rumble.
I know, like, they just started introducing all these robots. I thought it was like a one-on-one match. It was like, okay, Nibbler versus General Gal, oh, and then Reactor, and Gunnir, and Something Must Die, and Mordigus?
Yep.
Sure, why not? And then it's just like, and Chinkilla in the middle of the arena. It's like, oh, I see what's going on here.
And this is the first time that Jay Leno's Chinkilla turns up with something very distinctly missing.
The Jay Leno part of it.
It's just basically a robot with Jay Leno's face on it.
Yeah, I know, and it was like, I remember last time we kind of, I mean, it was okay, but like, the fact that Jay Leno was there, like, actually kind of added to the robot because he was doing, like, commentary over it. Say what you will about Jay Leno, but like, now having the robot with him not there just makes absolutely no sense, and it's like, what the hell's the point?
The only robot that really does anything is Reactor, which is a full body spinner robot.
Yeah.
And I would probably say, in terms of, that it survives getting into a fight with six robots and surviving, yes, you can maybe say Chinkilla is undefeated, but I have a note here, which is the winner of this match is not the audience. And this was technically, because this is 21 minutes into the show, this is effectively the main event of the 7th episode.
Yeah, let's not start with the whole, oh, this is two episodes, but technically they're one episode thing again, because yeah. I just had a headache of the last time.
Absolutely.
Hey guys, Chris here, and we're just going to take a short break to thank our contributors today. The logo was designed by Greg Watt, and the theme song, which you can hear right now, is Technoax with their song Master Machine.
Here's an advert for a podcast we think you'll enjoy. I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And if you're listening to this, then we recommend that you check out our podcast, the DCAU Podcast, where we watch the original DC animated movies, starting from Batman Mask of Phantasm and continuing on to Justice League, Dark, Apocalypse War, and beyond. And we will cover such heroes as Batman,
Superman.
The Batman.
Wonder Woman.
Victorian steampunk Batman.
The Flash.
Batman Beyond.
Green Lantern.
Old Man Batman.
Martian Manhunter.
And plenty more versions of Batman.
Lots and lots and lots of Batman.
You can find the DCAU podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere else that you can get podcasts by looking up the DCAU podcast and subscribe today. So let's move on to some actual proper fighting.
Well, the thing is, like, at the end of this match, I think it was Bill Dwyer that kind of said that, like, he's deemed Chinchilla beaten by these robots. So I don't, like, obviously all of Chinchilla's sort of matches are exhibitions anyway, so it's completely irrelevant. But the fact that, like, you know, somebody kind of said, oh, yeah, I would deem that as beaten, is quite interesting, especially since it's Jay Leno's robot that's clearly been made to not be beaten.
Absolutely.
But anyway, I digress.
So the next match is a lightweight match, and it is the returning Salad, which is a lifter slash X robot, and Carnage Raptor, which I believe is by the same team who made a load of other Raptor robots that have turned up in a lot of different places, including in later series of BattleBots.
Are they the team that's got Ghost Raptor now?
I think so.
Interesting. Maybe I'll save my thoughts on Ghost Raptor for another day.
So Carnage Raptor is a thwackbot, and it does a really effective job.
Yeah, well, I think I get into this a bit later in these episodes when it comes to thwackbots, but it's definitely one of the better ones.
Thwackbots are kind of, they're a bit like pusher robots. If you don't like them, I can understand why. I happen to like them, even though they're not exactly the most... Okay, they have one tactic, but it was a tactic that works.
Yeah. And to be honest, when it comes to thwackbots, there is a certain way that you need to build them. I suppose I could just quickly get into it now, like, because it was during Overkill's match from one of the episodes a bit later on, and we can go into it a bit further when we get to said match, but there's clearly some ways to build thwackbots where they're actually effective, and then you get stuff like Mjolnir and I think Blade Runner, where wheels and the actual axe like fall off at some point, and it's like, that's clearly a shoddily built, like, thwackbot.
Yeah. So, what does end up happening in this match? As I said, so, Salad is seriously hurt by one of the kill saws as one of its tires gets pulled off.
And, Dallas Gokar, the driver of Salad, like, I was just waiting for that point where I could use the lane, and Dallas Gokar's Salad gets tossed.
Ew, we're in a primetime show, man. You can't show shit like that. You also see Carnage Raptor getting screwed.
Yeah, like that was quite unfortunate. It got stuck under the screws and couldn't get back out. So Salad just comes in, just flapping its big hard weapon everywhere, just beating it across the face.
It just whacks on Salad with its bell end.
The weapon is very phallic.
So yeah, Salad wins, not through any achievement on of its own,
No, Salad was definitely losing this match until Cardiff Raptor got self-stuck. It won by not doing anything on its own accord.
And then we get another one of these segments that is basically, we went and saw a robot being built, and we want to keep that B-roll, even though all their matches are shite. And we get to meet the builder of Sharkbite, Arnt Anderson. Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, why he couldn't have called his robot Spinebuster is beyond me.
I like it. Or Glock.
Yeah. And then we get a rundown of what Sharkbite did in its matches that we're never going to see, which is defeating Heart of Darkness and losing to Hexadecimator.
They also beat Punjar.
Oh, it beat Punjar as well. I mean. Okay. Do you think Punjar still had the marks in it from the Las Vegas event?
Probably. it seems like the kind of thing where it's fine. Like, let's just stick it back out there. It'll be fine.
We also get a BattleBots update. Two super heavyweight bouts as Rammstein.
Ich will.
Defeated Half-Gast. And Dawn of Destruction defeated the Eradicator.
Ooh. But this leads us into lightweight action?
Middleweight. We also meet a robot building club in a school in Plymouth, which is nice.
Yeah, just a shot of like a dude just sitting on a robot just spinning around in circles, and it's like, you totally Ralphed after this.
Yep. So, our middleweight match is a rookie team, F5, versus Ankle Biter, which is ranked 7.
Dun, 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 dun.
Now, here's the other thing. So, F5, which is obviously a reference to tornadoes.
Boo.
Not that type.
Ah.
Still boo, but yeah.
Yes.
Despite the fact that you have a whole cavalcade of tornado and wind puns that you could use, Mark Bierer instead just... Is it me, or these introductions just getting worse?
Oh, yeah, like, we had this conversation in the last batch of episodes, and it was almost like after you brought that up, I purposely listened more to his introductions, and yeah, they are just getting worse. Like, there was just one point where it's like, oh, this robot wakes up, drags its... sword across your face, it's Blubada! And it's like, what? no attempt to even make that, like, anything towards a robot. I don't know, just...
If he did that, he would have to come up with 500 separate introductions. So fair enough, but still.
I don't know, some of them, yeah, I can probably understand them being a bit difficult, but a lot of these robots have, like, pretty decent personality, like, just off their names alone, that you could at least make a couple of puns. Like, he did a half-decent one on Anklebiter when it's like, it always goes for its favourite part of your body, it's Anklebiter! And it's like, there you go, there's one that worked.
So... Yeah, Ankle Biter, just to remind anyone, it is a wedge robot with a huge ass that I'm sure screwed it over last time as well, and basically a wedge on the front with two saw blades sticking out of it, which are just the perfect height to be hit by F5's blades on the side of that robot. And they explode.
I really wanted to see the damage that it caused because, like, the saws are going right as they get hit by F5, which means probably they're still spinning when they get the fucking their shit pushed in the front of the robot. So, like, the saws clearly went into the robot and probably wrecked it from the inside.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The amount of damage that will have done internally, just for having bits of metal bouncing round. And even then, Ankle Biter is still fighting. It's very much trying to go down the line of, well, I can still win this if, for instance, F5 gets what happened to, I can't remember what the name of the robot was, but there was one robot that basically the full body spinner part of it flew off.
Was it Turbo?
Might have been. And then Ankle Biter, not only that, Ankle Biter's starting to shed pieces. There's just things falling off the robot.
I'm melting!
And then it gets yeeted onto its back by the kill source, and it lands perfectly on its ass.
Which, I know, because it was the way that, like, it landed upside down, and it was just kind of like, I'm fine this way. And then the momentum just kind of, like, kept going. It's like, no. But.
This was Ankle Biter's first match.
Mm-hmm.
It was his only match.
Yeah, because even Bill Dwyer, I think it was, said at the beginning of this this fight, it's like, oh, look, it's Ankle Biter still looking the same as last year, so they haven't learned to put a curved bumper on the back of the robot. And then the second it landed on its flat ass, like, Bill Dwyer's like, see, fucking told you! I fucking told you!
So, we don't see any of what happens now, which is the winner of this match faces Complete Control. So that's F5 fights Complete Control.
You can see that if you know where you look.
Yes. Do you know where you don't see it? On TV?
Yeah.
So.
But just don't give away the result and we will cover it.
I mean, I have to say, they do F5 a little dirty, because this is the only F5 match we get out of the six matches it has. First of all, I can't think of another full-body spinner that has six matches and survives that long.
Jesus, Captain Shredderator, which is technically significantly better than F5, can barely even do three matches in a tournament without breaking.
Absolutely. So, after all of that, we then get an interview about the BattleBots website, which I do think is quite an interesting thing to discuss, and fair play that if they actually had, like, the proper results online. They don't now, but...
Yes, Ack Machine?
It might be. I've not looked. And...
Next time.
We then finish with...
You've got the website, so...
Yep, exactly. Why would you want anything else?
Exactly. All of your robot fighting trees all in one place.
So, we finish the show, which has had some relatively good matches, with a lightweight contest.
Mm-hmm.
And our two robots are the rookie, Blood Moon.
Which is kind of cool.
And the 17th-ranked lightweight, Shaft.
Which looks like something I would have built out of Lego as a 5-year-old, not understanding how, you know, gravity works.
So, yeah, it's a weird-looking thing. It's almost like they forgot to build the shell of it.
Like, why are the And the part that annoys me the most is all the wheels aren't even aligned. Like, the two back wheels stick out further than the two front wheels, and that really annoys me.
So, I actually ended up, I wrote a load of notes, and I'm just going to skip all of them to the last two, which is,
okay,
this was shite, mm-hmm. and that's the first time I've ever sworn in my notes. I don't swear in my notes. And two...
Would you believe I don't swear in my notes? Just the swearing just comes naturally.
And I put in here, the result is 26-19 for the winner, Blood Moon. Spoiler alert. I have no idea how that happened, because genuinely, Blood Moon is a vertical spinner that uses its wedge as its main attack.
Yeah. It reminds me, I think it was of Pika 2 from Robot Wars Dutch or German or whatever one it was we covered.
Deutsch.
Where it had like the spinning.
Dutch, not German.
As I said, Dutch. Dutch. Where it had the spinning weapon like at the top of the sort of wedge. So the whole thing was you needed to get speed in under a robot to scoop it up the wedge to then hit it with the saw weapon. But just the way that like Blood Moon is set up in a way where it's like it can clearly just come at you like butt first and then it would hit you with the weapon, but it just refuses to do that.
It doesn't help. The weapon is just kind of a bit weedy.
It's a square, like a square saw.
That I don't think is an absolutely awful idea.
It just means that there's only 4 points of like actual damage.
Yeah.
I'm sure if you spoke to someone that was obviously a lot more, you know, engineerically inclined, I'd fuck that up. I don't even care.
Is any more had better knowledge of combat engineering?
Yeah, mechanically inclined. There, that sounds a bit better. Yeah, just leave all that in because I know I'm a fucking idiot sometimes. I feel like if you had a conversation with somebody that was more mechanically inclined, they would probably be able to put up a half-decent argument as to why a square saw is probably a better weapon than your standard circular saw. But, you know, I'm not that person, so.
Absolutely. So, yeah, that was the fourth week.
Yeah. And... Well, like there was like one or two highlights maybe from this match, and it came when Blood Moon got himself stuck on the wall like almost instantly, and then Shaft just continues to drive itself over the kill saws, which is something we alluded to at the beginning of this episode, and then throughout the match you could see the middle part just getting closer and closer to the ground because of its weird wheel setup.
Mm-hmm. I have to say, the two main events, if you consider it to be like the halftime main event and the final match, were the two worst matches. By a long way.
Yeah, like... I mean, I know, like, you're probably going to want a pretty decent back and forth match as your main event to like, because it's going to be the last match of the week's episodes, but I can't help but feel as if like if you had Son of Waiachi versus Nightmare as your main event,
oh,
and you just built up the entire episode just going like, because the way they were just like, oh, here's Son of Waiachi, here's Nightmare. Okay, right. Well, Son of Waiachi beat this one, and they beat that one, and Nightmare's beat this one. It's like, if you built that up in a like a almost in a sports entertainment wrestling kind of way, where it's like, oh, and your main event this evening is going to be Son of Wyatchi versus Nightmare, and then you showed like these clips like throughout the episode.
I mean,
look at Nightmare's one and only other match that we've seen, where it obliterated that robot in like what 10 seconds.
Well, that's like, the thing, like, to get. I mean, I have this as a, I can't remember what match it is. I think it's Dissector versus Rammstein. They build that match properly, and it's really weird because it's like halfway through the episode and you suddenly get like a proper main event build for a random match in the middle of the episode.
Yeah.
And that's the issue, is as I've said before, it's this frustrating thing of no, I know you guys can do this because you do it often enough. It's the problem is, unlike, and this is a compliment I will give for the later series of BattleBots, actually do build properly to a main event. They do actually do a bit of more, I'll be honest, wrestling, UFC, boxing style setup with their cards.
Definitely more so now. Seeing now that they have Fight Night, it's 100% like robot wrestling. Like, now that they definitely have an actual main event, and then they've got the undercard. Like, they do such an amazing job at it, and it's like, you could easily do this here, but they just kind of, like, it's this thing that we've always kind of said, where like, BattleBots these days is so much more considered a sport, whereas, so, you know, this is kind of like more like boxing, as you kind of said, like, you know, like an actual genuine sport, or MMA, probably MMA, because, you know, Kenny Florian, you know, kind of
write
itself. But whereas the Comedy Central BattleBots definitely is more wrestling-y, where it's just like, haha, look at all this crazy shit that's happening. Woo, Attitude Era, woo.
So, yep, that is the end of our coverage of episode 4. And, well, we've got a lot to look forward to in episode 5 of our podcast, as we start off with Shite Mortis.
Fucking big, beefy boy Mortis.
But you'll have to wait till next week to find out who...